Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. We are officially halfway through the season. We were treated to an incredible one today in Silverstone. Just absolutely insane. So let's dive right into some news and then we'll get into the race. So for some quick headlines, first up, Keanu Reeves is producing a Cadillac docuseries about the team's entry into Formula One. I think it's going to be incredible. He has done this before for Braun. He produced a docuseries, I think it was 2023. So it's going to be a good one. He's a big fan. He was also in Silverstone this weekend. So lots of people were seeing him around the paddock. Second piece of news around the FIA. So we know that the elections are coming up in December. The current president, Mohammed Ben Salem, is going to be challenged. As a reminder, Carlos Sainz Sr., who had announced his potential bid, has since said that he will not be running. But we have a new person entering the chat, Tim Mayer. He was a steward for 15 years across F1, WEC, other series, but he did get fired from the FIA. He was part of the stewards panel that punished the U.S. Grand Prix organizers last year for a track invasion. So that caused them a $500,000 fine. Amid that fallout with the FIA, he was fired, and he believes that that was an act of retaliation. He's an American, the son of the former McLaren F1 team principal, Teddy Mayer. So he's been in and around racing for a long time, but we'll see if he is a potential challenger for MBS come December. So we'll stay tuned on that. Another piece of news, McLaren announced a chrome livery. They took over Trafalgar Square in London. It just looked absolutely incredible, but the livery was paying homage to their iconic mid-2000s livery with the chrome color, and it's the one that's reminiscent of Lewis Hamilton's first win at Silverstone with McLaren, so there's a lot of really good history with that color, and as we will get to, it was a very special weekend for them to have that. I think it was probably record attendance at Silverstone. I know they broke one day attendance last year at Silverstone, and I'm not sure the numbers have been quite published yet, but they were definitely expecting that to be a record-breaking attendance weekend, more people than Glastonbury, which was just this past weekend. So there's a lot going on in the UK right now. Wimbledon's happening, so big, big weekend for the UK and lots going on there. But let's dive into the race, a quick in case you missed it. So the only big notable thing from practice was Ollie Berman, who crashed under red flag conditions in practice, and the stewards gave him a 10-place grid drop and then 4 penalty points, which is really tough on his super license. And so he just called that an unfortunate, silly mistake. Obviously wishes that didn't happen, but it was a bummer because, as we'll get to in quali, it was his best quali performance. For quali, so in Q1, the major incident was Franco Colapinto causing a red flag. Out we had Colapinto, Hülkenberg, who started P19, and we'll get to that, Lance Stroll, Gabriel Bortoleto, and Liam Lawson. For Q2, Max and Oscar, this was crazy, they set the exact same time at one point, which is, I think the announcers were even like, how does that even happen when they're in totally different cars, different machinery, different power units, like the whole thing. It's just always crazy when that happens. Out in Q2, we had Carlos Sainz, Tsunoda, Ocon, Isaac Hadjar, and Alex Albon. Q3, we had 7 constructors, really exciting, and Max just set an electric pole out of nowhere. We really thought it was going to be one of the McLarens, but Max came out of nowhere and grabbed it, especially after complaining on the radio a lot about the car. But either he's able to do just inhuman things with that car, or maybe it's not as bad as he lets on the radio. I did a poll on Instagram, and you all seem to think that he's just inhuman and doing crazy things with it, which I think is probably fair. But then we had Oscar P2, Lando P3, then George, and then Lewis starting P5. It's a bummer. I thought maybe Lewis was going to be able to start a little bit higher than he did, but still good to start P5, and only the third time this year that Lewis has outperformed Charles in quali. But it was fun in Q3 to see the top 6, I think, separated by only 2/10 of a second. So always crazy when there's that small of a gap. And the other highlight in quali was Ollie Berman, like I was mentioning, setting his best position in quali of the season. It's just a bummer that he had that grid drop. But sunny conditions, pretty beautiful day on Saturday, which was not at all foreshadowing for Sunday, because this was all about the weather, all about the rain. And I just think wet conditions always deliver in this sport. And Silverstone, I think, watching this in the rain is just done so beautifully as a track. Like, obviously, it's been around since 1950 for a long, long time, but all the runoff areas, the incredible saves from people spinning and doing 180s. There are just so many tracks on this calendar where you wouldn't be able to have people rescuing themselves and being able to come back onto the track. And it's also such a fast track. It can be hard to pass in certain areas, but overall, it was a really great track that just delivers. The tire strategy was the name of the game. Most people spent the bulk of the race on inters. Some took slicks as a gamble, but then went back to inters. And the timing of that was really tough. And you had to just call the right moves. There was a safety car to neutralize the race for several laps when the rain just got too intense. Oscar, then another highlight or low light, I guess, is because of that safety car on the second restart, Oscar slammed on the brakes at the restart just as the safety car lights were turning off. And that gave him a 10-second time penalty. I think because of the conditions, it was just a dangerous situation, which we'll get to in a second. But that was unfortunate. So that dropped him back 10 seconds, which he served in his pit stop. It wasn't related, but it was right after. Max, who was P2 at the time, then spun at the restart, fell all the way back to 10th. And he was just really struggling with the low downforce setup, was not at all a happy camper, but managed to fight his way back up into 5th place, which was good. The real highlight at the end there was just the battle for P3 on the podium. And that just stole the show. So Lance Stroll, at one point, was in P3, thought he was doing really well. There was potential for him, but then Hülkenberg was right behind him as well. And then Lewis, a 7-time world champion, Silverstone legend, wet weather legend, was also right behind him. So a lot of fun battling for P3, which ended in Nico Hülkenberg taking his first ever podium in Formula One. But Lando also won his home Grand Prix, so well deserved. A lot of this, I think, was due, of course, to Oscar's 10-second penalty, because Oscar was ahead for most of the race, but doesn't take away anything from Lando's win, in my opinion. I think it was just incredible, electric. Lando deserved it. And yeah, the grandstands were just insane. I think especially his dedicated grandstand, so, so cool. He kept saying how beautiful it was. And he said it's the biggest dream he's ever had, obviously, besides becoming a world champion someday. So, so happy to see that. Oscar did finish P2, and then Hülkenberg P3. I think I'm just going to get into my MVP right now. Nico Hülkenberg, 239 race starts, 15 years in Formula One, most of it in midfield or worse machinery. His first ever podium in F1, just absolutely incredible to do it after all of these years. It really just tells you to never give up on anything. And I just think that's such a beautiful lesson. And everybody is a Nico Hülkenberg fan today. He just seems like such a nice guy, such a good person, just a good human in general, and a great teammate to Gabriel Bortoleto. And I really love their relationship. And I'm really excited to see what's to come for him, but also first podium for Sauber since 2012, which I think Checo might have been the last one. The oldest maiden podium since the 1970s. So just breaking records out here. The stat that he is the longest tenured Formula One driver without a podium can finally be wiped from the record books, never to be said again. I also loved that Kevin Magnussen was in the garage with Stake, just kind of the enemies to lovers story is the best thing ever. I think people are probably aware of the Nico Hülkenberg, Kevin Magnussen words that they had with each other back in the day, the suck my, you know, that whole thing that is very much in the F1 lore, but it was really sweet to have Kevin Magnussen there celebrating with Nico. I was also dying at all the comments about Hülkenberg finally getting a podium, and it's a Lego trophy, like finally, and then it's a Lego trophy. I was actually sad though on the podium that no one sprayed him with champagne. Like, what the heck, Oscar and Lando? I guess it's like home race win and McLaren 1-2, and the whole thing was just kind of awkward in general, but I wanted Nico to get more of a podium celebration. I always put up a question box on Instagram of like your thoughts and your comments on the race. And someone said, Hulk dominance could bore fans. That's from E.K. Berg. I absolutely love that. So good. Everybody's a Nico Hulkenberg fan. His dominance, you know, we might get sick of, but I love it. Someone else said, Hulkenberg to Red Bull, Devil Wears Moi. I think that's an interesting theory or option. I mean, he is such a good tenured driver who, again, has not been in great machinery. But with Audi coming in and him being German, Audi being German, I think there's a lot of connection there. So I think he's probably safely in that Audi seat, at least for the next year, and see how things go. But yeah, I think Red Bull probably needs to figure out their junior driver situation and try to promote good people to carry the future of Red Bull, maybe rather than like another veteran at this stage. But I do love the idea of Nico being in good machinery. I think it was also so cute that Mercedes sent champagne to Steak. Everyone's a Steak fan today. Everyone's a Nico fan today. It's just, it's so, such a beautiful moment for them after years and years of just a lot of suffering. So it's a bummer. Can we also talk about how awkward that cool down room was? It was actually insane. I think we'll talk about the whole Oscar Piastri of it all, but it was just so awkward watching them. And Oscar was just in like such a bad mood, and it wasn't super celebratory for Nico. And then also Lando was just kind of like a sour thing. In business, they say you can have better, cheaper, or faster, but you only get to pick two. What if you could have all three at the same time? That's exactly what Cohere, Thomson Reuters, and Specialized Bikes have since they upgraded to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the blazing fast platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs, where you can run any workload in a high availability, consistently high performance environment, and spend less than you would with other clouds. How is it faster? OCI's block storage gives you more operations per second. Cheaper? OCI costs up to 50% less for compute, 70% less for storage, and 80% less for networking. Better? In test after test, OCI customers report lower latency and higher bandwidth versus other clouds. This is the cloud built for AI and all your biggest workloads. Right now, with zero commitment, try OCI for free. Head to oracle.com/paddock. That's oracle.com/paddock. Let's be honest, does anyone really know what hormones do? There is so much talk about women's hormonal health, but most women are left even more confused about what it means for them and what to do about it. Hormone Harmony is a game changer for women struggling with hormonal imbalances that leave them exhausted both physically and mentally. It only contains science-based ingredients that bring back comfort, energy, clarity, confidence, a sense of balance. And Happy Mammoth, the company behind this formula, has helped over 2.4 million women get their lives back and feel like themselves again after years or even decades of hormonal imbalances. And what makes this formula unlike anything else is that it tackles multiple hormone imbalances at the same time, which creates a cascade of benefits all through the body and mind, just leading to a better mood, more energy, easier weight management, and deep comfort. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout.
Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at So that brings me to my LVP, Oscar's handling of the penalty in the post-race interview, and then also just him asking for team orders at Lando's home Grand Prix. I mean, I guess to be fair, of course, he had done such a good job all weekend, incredibly emotional when he'd put himself in the position to win and felt like the penalty was unfair, which I do think to some degree 10 seconds was quite harsh for that. But I was really surprised. It felt out of character for Oscar to be acting in that way. You usually just see him cool, calm, and collected. If things don't go his way, he just continues on and just tries to put his head down. And that was not at all his approach to this race. It was, you know, poor me, why did I get this penalty? It's not fair. Can we swap the positions and then race it out with Lando, who's like now leading his home Grand Prix? And then in the post-race interview, just being like, I can't talk about it because I am going to get myself in trouble otherwise. So it was just not characteristic of him, I thought. And I get emotions are running high and he felt like he deserved it. But I don't know, that I guess the championship is so tight that he's stressed and there's a lot of pressure, but it felt out of character for him. And I didn't love the way that was handled. I appreciated that he got out of the car and congratulated Lando after they both got out of the car. That was nice. And, you know, shouldn't be any hard feelings towards Lando because he deserved that win. And it wasn't his fault that Oscar got the penalty. But man, I was really surprised by that behavior. And so for Oscar's penalty, big question I asked, was it deserved? And I put, yes, it was deserved. Yes, but it should have been 5 seconds. And no, it wasn't deserved. And it seems like most of you agree that the penalty was warranted, but that it should have been 5 seconds. It did seem unlucky more than anything that the lights of the safety car went out right as he braked. But given the conditions, kind of like I was saying, I think the penalty was more or less warranted, just given, and even Nico said it in the cool down room, of like the ripple effect of that actually caused some pile up and some potential danger. So I think it was probably warranted that there was a penalty, but the 10 seconds felt really harsh. All the announcers agreed. They thought that it wasn't going to be a penalty at all, that it was going to be nothing. Like, it had no bearing on Max's race, and Max's spin after the fact was totally of his own doing. So I don't know. It felt a little harsh. One of you asked, Sanar Qureshi or something like that, said, did Norris get a push from the FIA because he's British? Feels like 10 seconds is BS. Ugh. The ever prevalent British bias debate. I don't know if I have an opinion on that, but I would like to think that no, that Norris was not top of mind in terms of that decision-making process. So no, I hope not. I don't think so, but it did feel quite harsh. So unclear. Another question you all had was, what happened to Carlos Sainz? He dropped off out of nowhere. And then hot take, but maybe Sainz should have gone with the Sauber Audi option, from Scoot Tifosi. Now that's an interesting question. I hadn't really thought of that, but I do think that Williams has proven, outside of some of the reliability issues, that they really are on the up. It's a long-term project. They're focused on the 2026 car. Like, let's see what happens. I don't think one good weekend for Stake and Sauber. To be fair, Nico's had like several good weekends this season, but one good weekend, really good weekend, is enough to say like, oh, Carlos should have chosen Audi. And I do think it's going to be a very different project next year with Audi coming in. So I think it's hard to say that Sainz should take that option, but or should have taken that option. But I think, yeah, I really hope that this bodes well for Sauber and Audi starting in 2026, and Nico Hülkenberg and whoever else is going to be having a good potential start to the new era of regulations. The other couple talking points are just the poor strategy for Charles. Life Between Pit Stops called that out, and then Beetled called out the Mercedes strategy. Yeah, it was pretty brutal all around, but to be fair, Russell asked for those slicks, and he's probably listening back to that radio or thinking back on it and being like, what was I thinking? Because he was like, let's just try it. And it was clearly too early. Alonso had already gone onto the slicks, which, it was a bit of a gamble. It just showed that it was too early to go onto those tires. But I guess Russell was running P7 at the time, so what can you do? I mean, there's not like a ton to be fighting for in that position, I guess. So I thought maybe taking a gamble could have paid off. Unfortunately, it just didn't. So yeah, a little bit of a short one today because I am traveling, but let's get into the standings. And then I'm sure there will be more to talk about as the week goes on. But just an incredible Grand Prix. So four drivers, we have Oscar Piastri 234, Norris 226. So they are only 8 points apart. It is just getting very, very close. Verstappen 165, George Russell 147, Leclerc 119, Hamilton 103. And then it drops off pretty significantly to Antonelli at 63, Albon 46, Hülkenberg 37, and Ocon 23. So that's your top 10. And then four constructors, McLaren, another 1-2, just running away with it at 460, Ferrari 222, Mercedes 210, Red Bull 172. Williams 59, Steak 41. So they have gone all the way up to, what is that, 6? That's crazy. And then Racing Bulls 36, tied with Aston Martin, and then Haas 29 and Alpine 19. So still a lot to play for, sort of P2 down, but I think, you know, it's never over till it's over, but I think McLaren is looking like they're going to run away with it this year. All right. Well, that was the British Grand Prix recap, short and sweet. I know there's probably much more to talk about, but got to run, unfortunately, and just absolutely love this race and so excited for what's to come next. I hope the drivers enjoy a little bit of a break in the meantime.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.